We want to welcome everybody to our first ever live stream effort at Murrayville Baptist Church. We appreciate you tuning in and pray that what's said and what's done today will be a blessing to everybody. I've been receiving a lot of emails and texts lately, listening to newscasts, as all of us have, TV commercials even. And there's a common phrase being used by everyone, and it is this: times like these. Some will elaborate on the times and describe them as unprecedented, or they may say they're of biblical proportions. And I've been thinking a lot, and I know we all have, about the times that we're living in. And I want to bring a message to all of you today out of Proverbs chapter 22 in verse number 3. Proverbs chapter 22 in verse number 3. And this is the thought that I'm preaching on today. This thought is a prudent church. A prudent church. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 3, the Word of God says it like this. It says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Again, in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12, we read the exact same words recorded for us in the Word of God. When the Word of God says something one time, it's important for all of us to listen to it. But when it mentions the very same thing two times, we should take notice of it even in a more specified way. There's no doubt that we are living in some strange and I might even add some very serious times today. Since the beginning of this year, just in the natural element world, we have witnessed tornadoes, earthquakes, snowstorms causing havoc, mass havoc, weeks of rain on our eastern coast, droughts on our western coast, and now a mysterious disease that has been called an invisible enemy. And this invisible enemy has caused our top leadership of our nation to claim that we are at war. There are many who are subscribing to conspiracy theories about the coronavirus. Listen, I've listened to and read of the conspiracy theories, but I don't put a lot of stock in them to explain the times that we're living in. Let me say it this way. I don't believe in conspiracy theories, but I do believe in the prophecy of this Bible. Jesus told us that we would be living in days just like we're experiencing right now. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 8, Jesus himself said these words. He said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Then Jesus went on to say, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." And Jesus said these words, "And these are the beginning of sorrows." I've selected the passage that I've opened up with this morning to begin our thought for today, because it talks about a prudent man. The word prudent, defined in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, simply means wise, intelligent, and foreseeing by instinct. The recent outbreak of the coronavirus at first was a foreign thing. And what I mean by that is that it was in a foreign country. We in America lived our lives as normal and were not touched by this foreign thing at all. The conspiracy theories began immediately, and many were attributing different sources for the cause of this mysterious disease. We've heard the bat theories, snakes, a laboratory leaking the virus, or maybe some have said that there's a conspiracy of the Democratic Party to pull down the government of America. All of these conspiracy theories are out there today. While all of those thoughts are interesting, and even some may have a little bit of validity, it still does not teach us or instruct us on how we are to react to the situation at hand. That is the purpose of this message today. And I hope it will benefit your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, our passage says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By way of introduction, I want to point out two things concerning a prudent man. Number one, a prudent man, according to our text, considers the evil. He sees something ahead of him or in front of him and understands it as evil. And you will have to admit that we are living in some evil times. Roll all of the conspiracy theories together, tie them in a knot, and throw them all at this virus, and you will still need to say that this is an evil thing in front of us. There have been some horrible consequences to occur as a result of this outbreak among us. I'd give you one example. I was listening to the newscast, and I don't want to belabor these horrific stories that come to us about all of this virus. But this one close-knit family that I saw about, they were just being a normal family, getting together as a family does. And one of the family members had the virus, but she did not even know it. Because of their close-knit time together, that family member infected others in the family. Before it was all said and done, the last report that I heard about it, there was one of the family members that died, then another family member. The third family member died from this virus, and then the fourth member to pass away was the matriarch of the family, the mother, the grandmother of the family. And she was laying in the hospital with a ventilator on, and passed away not even realizing that her two daughters had just passed away just before she did. As I said, I don't want to belabor the horrible stories that have shocked us all, because there will be more to follow, I promise you that, as they are predicting that it is certain to get worse in America. Not only does a prudent man consider the evil, the text says that a prudent man also conceals himself. He said a prudent man foresees the evil and hideth himself. To some this may seem cowardly or faithless, but nonetheless the prudent man hides himself. Now our text does not say it, but I bet a prudent man would also advise others, especially the ones he loves and cares about, to do the same. I imagine that there would come a warning from his lips, from his heart, especially to the ones he dearly loves, to also adopt the prudent mentality. I'll give you an illustration. If I knew there were a rattlesnake over there in this bush, and I knew that rattlesnake was just setting cold and ready to strike at any moment, I would not run over there and grab that rattlesnake trying to prove my faith. I would stay away from that rattlesnake. But not only would I stay away from it, anyone in the sound of my voice, especially my loved ones, I would warn them about that rattlesnake. I would see the evil that it would cause and warn them to stay away from that snake. There's been a lot said lately of what should we do as the church. What should we? Should we have services? Should we not have services? If I were a prudent individual and I knew something was evil, do you think it would be good and godly advice for me to warn others about the evil? The Lord God Himself, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, told His people one day, He said in Isaiah 26 and verse 20, He said, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. I want to give you two reasons today of why we are closing the doors of Murrillville Baptist Church for this time. And I pray that the sheep of God and will be blessed and benefit from these thoughts. We have met and we've talked, we've prayed, and we have decided to keep our doors closed. And these are two reasons why. Number one, I want to say we're closing our doors because of the government we are told to recognize. Our president got on national TV and addressed our nation and asked us to refrain from congregating in crowds of 10 or more. I do not believe that President Donald Trump was being derogatory toward churches when he asked this from us. I truly believe he was acting as a prudent man and leader of our country. Our governor, Brian Kemp, asked our state to please, unless it was absolutely necessary, to refrain from the same thing. Please don't congregate, he said, in groups of 10 or more. And then he asked us to practice what has been coined as social distancing. I believe they're doing this for a prudent reason and not for a dictatorial, controlling reason. And listen, they're not asking us to refrain from preaching our message of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. As a matter of fact, they're begging us to live stream and get that message of hope out to our nation. The early church, the apostles were beaten and commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. But that's not what they're asking us to do. They're asking us to refrain from congregating, to try to curtail this evil disease that is in front of us. Some people says, well, preacher, where do you get that from about the government that we need to recognize? I get it from the Word of God. Faith in what this book tells us to do as a Christian and as a church. I've been a pastor now for 32, 33 years. Been in the position as a pastor, and I can honestly say during this time that I've never seen any times like we are living in right now. Preachers across this nation and around the world are having to make decisions that they've never had to even consider before. And we're not told what to do in situations like this in the seminaries. They don't cover things like this. But I know one source that we can go to that tells us what we need to do in times like this as a church. The Bible does tell us that the Word of God is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2. And I want you to look at something with me that the Word of God tells us to do, not just in times like this, but at all times. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, in verse number 13, the Word of God reads like this. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. The Word of God asks us, or tells us, or commands us, any way you want to describe it, the Word of God commands us to honor the king. We as a church need to listen to what our leadership is telling us to do. They are asking us, they are trying their best to get on top of this, to curtail it, to bring down the curve is what they call it, to try to get this evil disease that is affecting so many thousands around the world. And now in America, they are asking us to please refrain from congregating. Look in Romans chapter 13. Again in Romans chapter 13, we are told these words. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And let me just stop right there and say this. I'm thankful to be living in the land of America. I'm glad I'm not living in some foreign country where there's dictators that don't care about their people. But I'm thankful to be living in this land where we have the freedoms and liberties that we have. But we don't want to abuse those liberties. We do not want to abuse those freedoms. We want to live it up under the conditions of the Word of God. The Word of God goes on to say in Romans chapter 13, whoso therefore resisteth the power, talking about the governmental powers, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive damnations, or to themselves damnations. And verse 7 tells us this, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So the Word of God tells us as a church to be subject unto the governments that rule our land. And beside that, I've watched the newscast and I've seen the medical teams on the front lines of this crisis, and they are begging us to stay at home. They are eyewitnesses to the devastation and are endangering their own lives in hopes of saving someone else's. A group of doctors and nurses held up signs that read, "We went to work for you. Please stay home for us." They're calling medical personnel out of retirement to help combat this crisis. They're bringing medical ships into harbors to aid in this crisis. And so the Word of God tells us to be subject to the powers that are over us. And I think as a church, we should listen to the Word of God. Not only are we closing the doors and refraining from congregating? Listen, it was one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make as a pastor. Well, I say ever. There's been a lot of decisions, hard decisions to make. But this has been one of the most difficult to truly get clear direction from. I listened to other preachers. I listened to what they said. And I honor anybody's decision in what they're doing. But as for me and Murrillville Baptist Church, I believe the very best course of action is to do what the Word of God tells us to do. I went to God in prayer. I said, "Dear Lord, I don't want to make this decision out of any fear of mine or feeling of my own." I said, "God, I do not want to make this decision based on what other preachers are saying or calling it cowardly. Lord, I want to honestly make it according to the Word of God." And the Lord directed me to these passages of Scripture at times like this. Not only are we closing the doors and respecting our government, but I want to say secondly, we're doing this because there is a God that needs to be revered. I saw on the news that there's a lot of young people who are down in Florida on the beaches who are on spring break. And I understand that. I was a teenager one time myself. I understand the youth thing. I understand all of that. But our government has asked us not to do that. And to me, they're not down there congregating on those beaches showing faith in God. They're doing that. And honestly, what it's doing is tempting God. And the Bible tells us that God is tempted of no man. There are some who would ascribe to the thought, "Well, I'm just going to trust God and I don't care." I understand that thought, because I've said things like that myself. But still, it does not exempt us from having faith in the written Word of God. In Mark chapter 12, If you want to turn in your Bible with me in Mark chapter 12, there was an instance where a group of people came to before Jesus Christ to tempt him. And they were trying to catch him at his words. And in Mark chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, Whose is the image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him." There would be some today that would say, "Well, if you close your churches, that shows a lack of faith." The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not showing a lack of faith. It's showing faith in what this Word tells us to do. As I said before I made this decision, I prayed and asked God to direct me. And God did it with His Word. And I'm just as sure that we're doing what God wants us to do because God wrote it down for us so that we might read it. I paid attention to our president, to our governor, and listened to and respect the opinions of other preachers. But listen, I must consider Jesus Christ first and His bride. The Word of God must be my guide. As I said, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then there's others that will say, "Well, Brother John, closing your church shows that you're fearful." I trust God, but I wear seat belts. I trust God, but I take my prescribed medications. I trust God, but I lock my house at night. This is not out of fear. I could boldly walk out these doors and walk into the world and walk through and say, "I'm just going to trust God and I'm not going to get the coronavirus." But I think that's a foolish way to live. In Acts chapter 27, Paul was being taken to Italy by ship, and the winds became contrary. Then the seas became dangerous, and Paul admonished the people on the ship that the voyage was going to be with much hurt and much damage. They would not listen to Paul, and they continued sailing, and soon a storm so mighty they gave it a name of Euroclydon arose. It got so bad that Dr. Luke wrote in his commentary in the book of Acts that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They reached a place where they could see no lifeline, no help and no hope, nothing there to save them at all. We have not reached that place yet, but it is coming to this world, brothers and sisters. They were in such trouble that they had no hope of being rescued or helped in any way. Paul went missing, the text goes on to say, for a long time, and then appeared before them all saying, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete. But there is still hope because there stood by me this night the angel of God by the name of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that he told me to fear not, Paul. And he said, Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." I believe this book, and I believe that we're living in the days of this prophetic Bible. Which brings me to the next thought. We're going to have to learn to trust God in this crisis. God's Word tells us to mind the powers that be, and the powers that be have asked us not to gather You know what the world's witnessing right now? They're witnessing what's actually going to happen for real in the tribulation. There is going to be no church in the tribulation. They're seeing a foretaste of what the tribulation is going to be really like. Churches are closing the doors. There's no gatherings at the church house, no hymns being sung. There's no congregation walking out after an inspirational message and leaving out with the message of hope. What the world is witnessing right now is what is going to happen in the near future. Here's an amazing thought about all of this. God was not surprised or shocked when this virus broke out. For some providential reason, God has allowed it all to happen. Talk about a conspiracy theory. That is a hard thing for some people to even consider today. That God would allow. There's so many thoughts about God. Some think there is no God, and then others think, when they do think of God, the twisted way of thinking about Him. But God has allowed every bit of this to happen for a reason. And I believe it is this. I believe God, in mercy and in grace, is trying to get this world's attention. In Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 7, the Word of God tells us this. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. Listen, I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. It's a time for the church to wake up. It is time for the Laodicean church to wake up and realize that God's Word is coming true in our lifetime. We need to be a prudent church. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 14, the Word of God says this, And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Now listen what God's Word says. He said, If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's so much going on in our world today, and it is ramping up at a speed that is frightening many. We are definitely living in prophetic times. Jesus Christ Himself said these words in Luke chapter 21. He said, Then said He unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights. And great signs shall there be from heaven. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, listen to it, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The times in which we live are the days of Noah. It's also the days of Sodom. The days we're living in are prophetically described for us by Jesus Christ Himself. He said in Luke chapter 17, trying his best to reach the congregation, his world at his time. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Preachers are doing everything that they can today to try to comfort people, and we need comforting. But we should also be warning people. God is trying to get our attention, the attention of the church and the attention of the lost world. Jesus is coming soon and very soon. Listen, how many listening to me right now know without any doubt that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Here's a tremendous thought for us. Whether you are gathered in the house of God on a Sunday, or whether you are gathered as you are now around your live streaming device, you are the church. Going to a building does not make you the church. The blood of Jesus Christ, that's what makes us the church. The saving blood of Christ. Let's not just go to church. Let's be the church. Back in the 14th century, long before the days of modern medicine, Europe was decimated by the Black Plague. In fact, the plague is estimated to have killed around 25 million people in Europe alone. About one-third of the population of that continent. This was clearly a very, very serious situation. Martin Luther was one of the great theologians of the day, and he was asked how Christians should respond to this health crisis. And here's what he said, and I quote, "I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and this perchance inflict and pollute others and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, He will surely find me, and I've done what He has expected of me, and so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith because it is neither brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God." There are many people wondering what is happening in our world. And church, we have the answers. We know what is going on in our world. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, Jesus Christ looked at His people and said these words. He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, the Word of God said this. "Think not," Jesus said, "that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you," listen closely, "till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. This is a time for the church to be a prudent church. While we are hiding ourselves, we can still be effective as the church. My life is secure and safe under the everlasting arms of my Savior. And if I were to personally be infected with the coronavirus and die, I know for me to take my last breath on this earth will be for me to take my first breath in God's heaven. Do you know that about yourself? Could you, with the assurance of the Savior and the assurance of the Scriptures, face this crisis to the end of your life? If not, I've got wonderful news for you. You know what the real tragedy of all of this is? And there's a lot of tragedy, a lot of tragic things going on because of this virus. But you know what the real tragedy of this plague is? It is not dying with the coronavirus. The real tragedy is dying without Jesus Christ. We're all going to die, all of us. Unless the rapture of the church happens, we're all going to face death. Whether it be by coronavirus, heart attack, cancer, we're all going to die. Some die tragically in accidents. But the greatest tragedy of them all is dying without Jesus Christ. Church, we need to be telling others about Jesus Christ. Deb and I got out for a little bit yesterday. We had to go make a run to the store. And we went to Sam's down in Oakwood. And, of course, we had our gloves and our mask. And I won't go in public places without a mask and my gloves on. And so, matter of fact, I'm high risk with my heart situation, but nonetheless, we went out, and when we were driving out that way, we noticed a lot of parking places just empty that normally would be filled with cars on a Saturday, but they were empty. That Saturday yesterday when we went to Sam's, there wasn't a whole lot of business at Sam's. There was a little bit of traffic there, but not like normal. We went inside, and I noticed my mother was wanting us to bring her a hot dog, but we forgot that no food service, so they weren't serving food inside of Sam. And people were walking around. I just got to watching the people, and they were just getting stuff off of shelves and putting it in their shopping carts. Most of the shelving was empty. And I told my wife, I said, you know, it's almost depressing to walk around in Sam's and see all of the empty shelves that was normally full in the land of the free and home of the brave and the land of plenty. And here we are experiencing empty shelves. But I looked at the faces of the people, and they were, it was as if they were not going there for anything specific. They were just getting stuff. And it was almost like they were saying, well, I hope what I'm getting is going to see me through this. And putting it in their carts and going to the checkouts. I walked around and I told Deb I could sense that the patience of people were just on the edge. And I told my wife, I said, if this thing carries out much longer, it's going to get ugly in America. Brethren, this is just the beginning for us with all this coronavirus. It's a hard thing for us to adapt to. Churches, Christians, families, businesses, children are having to readapt their lives to what's in front of us. But I believe God's Word is still the hope for this nation. I still believe that this Word of God is the hope for churches, for families, for businesses, for children. This Word is our only hope. of all of this that is so rapidly changing in front and infecting all of our lives, the Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know Him? Have you ever seen yourself for what you really are, a sinner in need of Jesus Christ? If you've never realized that, the Word of God emphatically tells us all that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. But that's who Jesus Christ died for. He went to an old rugged cross and died on Calvary. They buried His body. But on that third and glorious day, we've got an Easter message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not just for Easter. It's every moment of every day. Jesus Christ is alive. And He's ready to save whosoever. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Church, that's the message that this world needs to hear. I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning, and I flipped on the news just to see what was going on right before I came to church. And on Fox News, they were interviewing preachers and asking them what were they doing to get the message of hope out to our nation. And they were interviewing these preachers, and they were telling, they were all, but on Fox News, they realized that there has to be a message through all of this chaos. And thank God there is. And the message is still Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Him, you can call upon His name today. Church, we need to be prudent. And while we are hiding ourselves, tell others what they need to hear, that Jesus will save their souls. I pray that what's been said today has been a help to your heart. I pray that it's been challenging. I pray that it's been comforting. And I pray that it's been a message that will cause you to be the church if you're saved. Not just talk about it. Not put down on others for what they're doing or not doing. But honestly, be the church, a prudent church. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and we'll end this service. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. We love You so much, Lord. Thank You for loving us. Thank You, Lord, for caring for our lives the way You do. And I pray and ask, dear Lord, that You please open the hearts to those that are listening to this broadcast. I pray that You would open up every heart to the Word of God, not just my words, Lord, or any thoughts of mine, but, Lord, to the Word of God. Lord, we're living in some times like we've never seen. But, Lord, I'm so thankful to know that my hope and my eternal life rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. May Merville Baptist Church, while we're hiding ourselves for a little, may we still be the light and the salt to this world. May we truly care for others and tell them the truth and what they need to hear, that there is hope, there is life in Jesus Christ. So God, You bless our people. Lord, protect our people. Lord, it's been mine and Deb and Mom's prayer all through this. God, protect our family, protect our people from this virus. God, help us and be with us. Be with the leadership of this country. Be with the leadership of our state. Be with the leadership of our churches. Be with us all, Lord. And may we truly be faithful till Jesus comes. Lord, we love You. But most of all, we thank You for loving us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you.